Beast OCR proudly presents BeastNet Podcast, sponsored in part by GH Under's Performance Based Layers and supported by the OCR community. Here we discuss all things OCR related. Welcome to BeastNet.
Hey everybody, it's Mike here with BeastNet. On this week's episode, we've got Corey Fay with us. And Corey, why don't you say hello and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey guys, how's it going? Corey Fay. I've been doing Spartan races since 2015. A little bit about me. I've got four kids total. Had one pretty young, but for the most part, I got another little one running around right now who's under two. I've been running races since I was a teenager. I ran my first marathon at 14, so kind of a little bit about me and kind of I got out of running and, you know, had to raise my family and take care of my family and stuff like that, and then kind of got back into it with the little one coming. I decided, hey, it was no better time, you know, I want to be here for my little one and be in good shape, so I started with the Spartan races and fell in love with them ever since.
Yeah, and that's kind of what you hear from most, where they kind of do a Spartan race usually on a whim or because a friend talked them into it and they fall in love with it. So you said you did your first marathon at 14. Was it a family thing, or was it just one of those things like you started, found your love of running in school, or how did that?
Yeah, so my dad had to get in shape for he was in the National Guard, and so he was running. Mm-hmm. To get in shape, and I was always riding the bike next to him, and then I just started running with him, and then my dad had done Hood to Coast and the Portland Marathon, whenever that was. It was probably like 1992 or something like that, and then my mom and I started doing Hood to Coast with my dad, and then when I was in eighth grade, I was like, hey, I want to do a marathon too. And so I went and did the Portland Marathon, finished a little, you know, north of like 4 hours. And then later that year, I went up and did the Seattle Marathon. It was snowy and cold, but finished in 3 hours and 30 minutes. So it was just kind of just something that kind of took hold. And we kind of did things as a family. We did a couple like 30K relays where each one of us ran a 10K relay since there were the three of us. So it was pretty cool. Yeah, it was pretty fun growing up.
That sounds like a blast.
Yeah.
It was always interesting for me growing up. I mean, I was the youngest of six, and my parents were not into athletic stuff at all. So I was one of those ones, like, I hated running. Like, I played baseball because I only had to run 90 feet at a time. So,
no, I totally get it. Yeah, I was a multi-sport athlete. You know, I played baseball. I played some football in middle school. But I played baseball pretty much until I graduated. I did cross country and track on my freshman and sophomore year. And then kind of my junior and senior year, I was kind of getting tired of being known as, you know, Corey Fay, the runner. And so I kind of didn't like the label. And so I kind of was like, okay, I kind of want to break away from just this one thing that I'm known for. And I kind of just want to do my own thing. So I kind of went away from it for a long time.
Yeah. Like I said, I played baseball. I played racquetball.
Mm-hmm.
I played tennis, all sports that were like really quick, like sprints, but no real like distance. I was really into mountain biking. That was my thing as a teenager.
Nice.
I loved mountain biking. I'd go up, you know, to Snoqualmie Pass, go up the lifts in the summer, and you can ride mountain bikes up on top of the not just down the slopes, but there's amazing trails up there too. So we'd go up and ride
the
trails.
Yeah, I've seen some of that.
Yeah. So those were my kind of sports.
Really like fun.
Like you said, I didn't get into running until I was in my 30s. And it was just kind of on a whim. I was bigger than I should have been. And that was the one, like, cardio that I found that worked best for me. So I worked for a company. We had a treadmill, a bike, an exercise bike, and a bunch of workout stuff downstairs. And instead of going to lunch, I would go work out every day. So, and that's kind of
nice.
How I got into it. But then injuries and more injuries and more injuries kind of messed me up. But
right.
So, like you said, you did that for high school and all that kind of stuff. What made you come back to it? I mean, was it kind of one of those things you started getting? What made you come back to doing the racing?
Well, what really brought me back into, like, one was just one of the things was just getting healthy. I wanted to eat right, and I've completely changed what I was eating. I had, you know, I mean, I had a kid coming, and I wanted to make sure that going forward in my life that I'm going to be able to be active and be able to kind of play with my kid and be there for my kid. And now I lost my dad about 9 years ago. So for me, I lost my dad, you know, I was like 30, 31 years old. And I just look at, like, now my kids don't have that relationship with my dad as far as like a grandpa, you know, and I want to make sure that with my kids that I'm there for them. I want to make sure that I'm there to, you know, be at their graduation and, you know, see all those, you know, see my daughters get married and those kind of things that I feel are very important to me in life. So I just want to make sure that I do everything I possibly can to make sure that I'm in that point where I can, you know, try to live. I want to live as long as I can. That's kind of like my goal is, like, I want to live as long as I can, as well as I can.
Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, that is awesome. I mean, kind of like I said, for me, I grew up youngest of six kids. My parents were old. My dad, mm-hmm. you know, retired at 62 when I was 16. So I never had, I always felt like I lost out. You know, my brothers and sisters were a lot older, and they got to, you know, they had these stories of going, you know, dirt bike riding with my dad and doing all this stuff with my dad. And by the time I came along,
right.
he was like, yeah, I'm too old to do any of that. So I love your idea of, you know, your thought of getting healthy and being able to do that stuff with your kids so you can enjoy that time. And that's been one of the things for me has been amazing is being able to do, you know, last year I did a full Spartan trifecta with my youngest. So
mm-hmm.
we actually
yeah.
got the, you know, all three of them. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
So
I did my, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, how old did you say your kids were?
So I've got a 23-year-old. I've got an 18-year-old, a 15-year-old, and then I have one that's turning two in the end of March.
Yikes. That's a huge.
Yeah. So I
see,
hit the reset button.
Yeah, that's what my parents did, and that's how I did. But luckily, it sounds like you're younger. My parents were like, I think I was, my dad was 45 or 46 when I was born.
Right.
So that's kind of, you know, it's like, that's a little bit, I mean, it sounds like you were what, like 37, 38, you'll still, and you're in good health. So
yeah.
I think you'll still be able to have fun with that one. So.
Yeah.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
I'm already looking at the kids, Spartan races for her. So I'm kind of like, oh man, I can't wait until she's old enough. I'm like, well, what's the age? I think it's like 4 years old or something like that. I'm like, I can't wait to get her out there and get her muddy. So.
Oh yeah. And she'll probably fall in love with it, hopefully.
Yes.
Right on. So have you had any of your older kids do races with you, or?
Yeah, so I had my 18-year-old daughter. She did a sprint this last year, and then her and I traveled down to Monterey, and we did the Spartan HX3 down there in Monterey,
mm-hmm.
and we did the four hours together, and then we drove back up with me, and I did the super the next day up in Sacramento.
Wow. So
yeah, she's been pretty supportive. And then my 15-year-old last year, he got his first trifecta last year at 14. So
that's awesome. Yeah, it's fun to, you know, see your kids going and doing that stuff too. So,
yeah.
Tell me a little, I know it's a little not on the kids, but the HX3. Explain that a little to everyone, cuz I'm not even sure I understand exactly what that was.
So, I wasn't really, you know, too sure myself at first, like how the whole event was going to be. And I'd already signed up for the Sacramento Super because I needed it for, it was going to be my ninth race and my third trifecta for the year. So it was something that was important to me. It was a goal I had at the beginning of the year. I signed up, drove down there. Basically everybody starts as a group. If you've done any of the endurance races, it's basically what happened is we went for four hours. And then at the end of the 4 hours, which would normally just be a normal hurricane heat, you had the choice of continuing on for another 8 hours to the 12 hour, or you could just stop right there. So okay. It was kind of like a kind of choose your own adventure and endurance race almost. It was, you know, I signed up for the 12 hour, not knowing that at the end, I thought I was going to be able to leave at the end of the 12 hours and then still make it up to Sacramento in time. Once I started talking to some people, there was no way I was going to be able to make the drive in time to end at, I think we would have ended at 8 o'clock in the morning. And then it was about a three and a half hour drive. And then by the time I would have got there, I would have probably just barely missed the very last wave of super that I could have went out on. And so I just didn't think it was worth pushing the drive to try to make it when I already had a goal set at the beginning of the year. And I was kind of throwing this in at the end just because I think they added this one throughout the middle of the season. They had added this race. And
yeah, they do that sometimes. Just randomly add races.
Yeah, which is what I hope they do this year. So
they usually do. I mean, that's how I got my first trifecta was in 15. And I did the Montana race, and then I did Washougal, and I was trying to figure out what I was going to do for a super, and then all of a sudden they announced the Seattle Super in October.
Oh, okay, good, yeah.
Yeah, in 15, the very first year of the Seattle Super was in October, so I ended up doing that and finishing out my trifecta, and then the next year, that's when they did the Super in April and turned October into a beast. So with the very first year,
My first Spartan race, I think, was the sprint up in Seattle. And I thought everybody was crazy who had done the beast, I think, the day before or something like that. And then some of them were out there for the sprint the next day. And I was like, oh, man, these people are crazy. And now I'm like, I'm doing that, you know. But I did that sprint and then. I was like, I was hooked. As soon as I did the race, finished the race, I was like, dude, this is awesome. I think it was still kind of wet. It wasn't as bad as it's been, but it was kind of wet and it was normal, you know, Seattle weather. And I was like, man, I love this. And then I was like, I got to find another race. What's the next race? And that's when I found the Sacramento race was down in November. And I was like, oh man, I got to go do a super. And then I was like, man, I need to do a beast now because I want to get a trifecta. And the only beast I think at that time for that year was in Florida. And I was like, I'm not flying across the country to go do this trifecta. I go, but next year I'm going to do my trifecta. And that's when I did, I got two trifectas the following year in 16, you know, cause that was my goal. So, and then this year was three, or this last year in 2018 was, you know, I wanted to get three.
And that's what's fun about it is trying to get the more trifectas and more trifectas. And, you know, it's addicting.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's kind of what ultimately got me into the endurance races is that I went to one and I got hooked. I was like, oh my gosh, I absolutely, you know, it's not just the races, but it's really the people that you meet and the relationships that you build in this sport that really make this sport what I think is more unique than a lot of other sports. It really is. It's more than just the race or the run or whatever. There's so many different layers to this sport that really make it, you know, unique.
Yeah. No, that's very true. And I mean, it's not just, you know, the run obstacle, that kind of stuff. I mean, that's unique, but it's the people. You get different right. type of people. I know yeah. when I was running and just running, doing, you know, half marathons and all that kind of stuff, you didn't have that support system. Really, I mean, you kind of had a few your friends that you knew, and maybe if you joined mm-hmm. like a running group. But other than that, when you went out on the course, I mean, I know me, I had an MP3 player that I put in my pocket, and I had it set up to make it so that when certain songs came on, I knew what my time was at, where I was at on time-wise.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
But I didn't talk to people. I just listened to my MP3 player and went.
Right.
And, you know, it wasn't until I found Spartan Races, because when I went to go do my first one, I went alone. Because I didn't think anything about yeah. it. I'm like, I've done everything else. You know, even when I did some mm-hmm. of the smaller mud runs, I ran a lot of those alone. And it's like, you know, why not? And then I learned really quickly it's a lot better with people. And
yeah, I mean, I would consider myself, you know, very much an introvert. I, as you can tell from like even just my story, I grew up as an only child. You know, for me, that just meant that I really, you know, I pretty much played with, you know, I was in my room and I was playing with cards by myself and, you know, make believe. And so I was very used to just being alone. And it is something that's really unique about the sport is there's a lot of, you know, we're all so different, but yet there's a lot of similarities why we're all out there too.
Yeah. And that's very true. I mean, there's a lot of similarities. And that's one thing I love about doing this podcast is I learn so many things about so many different people. You know, you think, you know, you see someone who's really athletic and doing good, and you think, oh, they've been an athlete their whole life. That's easy for them.
Right.
But then you talk to them, and you realize that some of them, yeah, they may have been an athlete their whole life, but there was still that period of time where they weren't. They stopped, you know, they stopped doing whatever because of an injury or whatever, that they've dealt with the same kind of things that the rest of us have, you know. And in my mind, yep. I think about it and it's like, everyone's had those moments. It's just how long they last. You know, for me, I mean, right. if you look at pictures of me in high school, I was 140 pounds. I was basically an athlete with long hair, but I was still an athlete. And it wasn't until I yep. got injured that I stopped being an athlete. And then I tried again and I got injured again. And it was my choice to let that injury, you know, stop me from being an athlete. But everyone has that story. I mean, not the exact story, but yeah. something to that effect.
Yeah.
Where for either, right. whether it be injuries, kids, wives, whatever, they stopped yeah. being an athlete for a time. And then, like, you chose to go back to it.
Yeah.
So you said your one daughter's two.
Yep.
So, 2 more years till she gets to start having some fun in the mud.
Yeah.
And your 15-year-old, you know, did a trifecta. Your 18-year-old did. That's awesome that you got the family in there. I know my 21-year-old daughter. She tried doing one mud run when my foot was broke and I couldn't do it. So she did it in my place, and like mm-hmm. didn't go near the water. She wouldn't go near the water, near the mud, nothing. She like walked around it. Like, well, why are you even here? Is she? When she first showed up, she was wearing a white T-shirt. She's wearing a white T-shirt. I'm like, do you realize what this is? She's like, what's wrong with the white T-shirt? I'm like, somebody get her a different shirt.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I remember the one with my daughter finishing. You know, I mean, knowing that we were both finishing this endurance race, and this was her first endurance race that she was
yeah.
doing with me. I was just like. You know, and one thing that's different with the races versus the endurance races is there's not a whole lot of like, I can't stop or slow down to go make sure she's okay. I got to just hope that, you know, she's taking care of herself with a race. At least like when we've done the race, when I did the race together, I was able to help her and make sure she was able to get over walls and those kind of things. With the endurance races, I wasn't able to do that. So I was just, you know, I just remember that those couple moments right when I knew she was right behind me and we were finishing up and we were carrying a couple sand, you know, 65 pound plus sandbags up and around this hill, you know, for 2 hours. And I was like, man, she's going to finish. And just feeling that sense of pride that came over me was worth, like, yeah. I was like, man, you can take my shirt, you can take my medal, you can take this dog tag, like this moment that I'm having internally in the feeling that I'm feeling about, you know, my 18-year-old daughter finishing something that's probably the toughest thing that she'll have physically done, you know, it's like that moment, like you can't take that away from me. So, I mean, I was just really like that overcome by that moment. And those are the moments that like I strive to put myself into so that I can have those feelings.
Yeah. And that's, I know what you mean. Like I said, that was me with Benton when he finished his trifecta. Cause it took a lot to talk him into the beast because he'd done two sprints and then he did the Seattle Super this last year. And after that Super, he's like, I don't want to do the beast. He's like, that Super was insane. I don't want to do the beast. Not if it's going to be like that. And I'm like, honestly, the beast is probably easier than the Super you just did. I'm like, there's not as much water. You don't have to swim through, you know, the barbed wire crawl. So, yeah. So he was, it took a lot of talking.
It feels amazing to watch, you know, somebody overcome just that those hurdles in life, you know, that you, I just feel like when you push yourself physically, like we all are, because it doesn't matter if you're first in your age group or you're not placing in your age group, but you're just finishing these races, we're all physically pushing ourselves to new limits. And when you push you watch somebody, especially your kids, push themselves like that, it makes you feel proud.
It does. It really does. And that was the thing kind of with Benton, with him. He's afraid of heights. And watching him go over some of those obstacles that, you know, he's done them a couple times before, but it's always you have to really work with him to get him over like the A-frame and some of those, because he really does not like heights. But like this last one, took him a little while still, but he was a lot better than he was to begin with. And I don't know if you know Jesse from West Coast Obstacles, but he has a habit of randomly showing up when Benton's on a high obstacle and helping getting him over. So I don't know what it's like. He's like his guardian angel. It is so weird.
Guardian angel. Like, there you go.
He won't be racing with us. And all of a sudden we're going over to top school and trying to talk him over. And all of a sudden Jesse's like, come on, dude, you got this. I'm like, where did you come from? Where were you at?
Wow.
So, but yeah, watching him get over those. And I mean, it was the sense of pride that you have when your kids do that is just, there's nothing that beats that. You can, like you said, you can take all my medals, you can take everything else, but you will never take that sense of pride I have watching him finish. So, crazy. So, which one do you like better, the endurance races or the normal races?
Well, you know, my whole thought was going into this year is that I was really not going to do any of the races. I was actually only going to do the endurance races. So that kind of probably answers that question for you. Unfortunately, what kind of happened is as most of the people who do the endurance races saw, they cut the schedule all up, and there's not as many endurance races out there. I had already bought the season pass, but I was going to use my season pass to only do the endurance races. Besides that, I was going to hit some of the races that I really liked. Like Montana is just a venue that I absolutely love, but they were going to put a hurricane heat there. So I was like, okay, perfect. I'm going to do the beast. I'm going to do a sprint and I'm going to do the hurricane heat all in that same weekend. Let's do this, you know? And then they canceled the hurricane heat and I'm like, okay, well, I'm already going for the beast and in the sprint already this year. So, you know, we'll see what it all ends up happening, but you know, I'm already, you know, I'm focused on, and I'm really excited to head down. I head down to Arizona in February. We'll do the 12-hour, and then from there I'll do the sprint, and then that night I'll do the 4-hour endurance race, and then I'll do the super the next day. I think that's how they have it laid out this year, is where the sprint is actually the day before the super now, instead of they used to do the super and then the sprint the last day.
I've noticed that on a couple of Vegas is like that. Vegas is like that, where it's backwards, where the sprint is first and the, you know, the super is the next day. Seattle's is still the super and then the sprint, but it'll be interesting. Because I usually start my year in Vegas, so I always go to Vegas.
Yep.
First.
No, I'm gonna do Vegas. Last year I did Vegas. I think Trevor wanted me to talk because that's what I try to share with people who are looking at doing the endurance races. You know, I try to help them out mm-hmm. as much as possible. I try to get on the Facebook pages that they're on and just reach out to people who haven't done these things so they don't make the same mistakes I did. But you know, yeah, Vegas was my first endurance race, but I really enjoyed, and it was just, you know, completely blind to what I was going to be doing. But yeah, I went out there with just the intent of, my intent was just go out there and do the super and go out and do the sprint, you know, originally. But then I was like, yeah, what's this hurricane heat?
Yeah, that's kind of how I did my first hurricane heat. I'm like, what's this thing? So yeah.
Yeah, what's this thing that they don't really talk about very much, and they don't really publicize it very much. No one really talks about it, you know. I think I was coming to go do whatever the event was on Saturday, and the people who had just done the 12-hour were still like kind of just finishing up, and I think they were doing some kind of dance or something like that, kind of celebrating the end of the 12 hours. When I was showing up, and I was like, you know, now I'm like, oh man, I can't believe I missed out on that, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. Trevor is the one that like, he said that I should reach out to you and get you on here. So.
Yeah.
Let's have a commercial break real quick, and then we'll come back and we're going to talk all about endurance and all that fun stuff.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right.
Grays Harbor Unders makes the performance-based layer clothing you want and need. Whether you work, hunt, hike, fish, run, or ride in the great outdoors. If you work up a sweat, Grays Harbor Unders are for you because their unique dual-layer fabric removes moisture from your body and keeps your skin dry, even when the outer layer is completely wet. It's a base layer like no other. Get you some at ghunders.com. That's ghunders.com for the best performance-based layer you'll ever wear.
Okay, so we're back from commercials. So we've been talking about everything, but I know endurance was the one thing, like Trevor Campbell was the one that said we should talk to you. And like you were saying, you've been giving a lot of advice to people about the endurance. So, yeah, talk about that. And, you know.
Well, so how this all happened, and I'm again, I know we all kind of share some similarities. My first endurance race was a hurricane heat out in let's call it Las Vegas for right now. And I'm doing the quotation marks just so everybody understands, let's call it Las Vegas. I didn't read the fine print. I talked my wife and her friends into, hey, let's go to Vegas for a weekend. And they were like, sure. And I was like, perfect. Hey, what do you guys think about this weekend? And they were like, yeah, that sounds good. I go, perfect. Okay, I had an ulterior motive. The Spartan race, I already knew, was that same weekend. So I was like, hey, I'll get my wife to be able to go hang out with her friends in Vegas, and I'll go do the Spartan races in Vegas. Well, then as I'm paying for the races, I noticed that I get charged Arizona tax. And I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. Didn't really put it all together yet, and being a little slow like I am, and get all of our plane tickets, everything ready to go. And I start looking, I go, wait, this thing's out in Littlefield, Arizona. Oh, it must be really close to Vegas. Well, sort of an hour and a half drive, I believe, something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, we're flying into Vegas. I'll be able to spend one night or kind of hang out that night with our friends. And then I'm going to have to wake up at like 6 a.m. and I got to drive out and do this. I think it was the super was the first day. I think it was Saturday was the super. And I'm like, okay, I got to do the super. And I had already signed up. I was like, oh, while I'm out there, there's this hurricane heat. I'm going to sign up for this hurricane heat. So I sign up for this hurricane heat at the same time. And so I go out. I'm getting ready to do the super. I'm in like one of the first waves. I think I'm like 9 o'clock wave. I get done. And the first mistake I make, you know, besides obviously not paying attention and not reading emails, you'll see that everywhere. If you're doing an endurance race, everybody will say, pay attention to your emails, pay attention to your emails. Well, I didn't pay attention to my emails. I went onto the Spartan website. Spartan website said, hey, make sure you have a headlamp, make sure you have glow sticks, make sure you're wearing a black shirt, you know, just the basic stuff on the Spartan website. And I was like, okay, cool. I went to REI, I stocked up, I made sure I had the basic things that I needed. Well, yeah, I get done with my race, and I walk over to kind of the information tent, and one of the first mistakes that I make is I asked a question. I said, hey, I'm doing the hurricane heat. I don't know where to meet up at. And she says, excuse me, are you asking me a question? And I thought it was really odd the way she phrased it. Like, hey, are you asking me a question? And I was like, I'm doing something. Yeah. I already knew I was doing something wrong.
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, I just don't know where I'm supposed to meet for the hurricane heat. It said meet up around like 4 o'clock or something like that. And she's like, that'll be 90 burpees. Now I just finished the super and I'm like, you know, it's, you know, probably 2.5 hours or something like that out there on the course. And I'm like, wait, what? And she's like, that'll be 90 burpees. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I drop down, I start doing I do the 90 burpees. As soon as I'm done with my burpees, she goes, I think you guys are meeting over there. And she points over at the endurance flag that's up. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I was like, she goes, you should read your email. And I was like, I didn't get an email. And so I head out back to my car and I'm like, I gotta find this email that I must've missed. Right.
Yeah.
So in Littlefield, Arizona, where this place is at, which is in the middle of nowhere on this dirt bike track, there's really no cell service out there, or it's really, really slow. So I'm trying to go through my email, but it's really slow. So I'm like, I got to go back into town. Luckily enough, town's about 15 minutes away. So I get back into town and I get the email up. Well, the email says I need to have a 12 by 12 cinder block. I need to have 50 feet of 550 paracord. I need duct tape. And I think I needed a reflective vest that I didn't know about. And I think there was one more thing that I needed. Oh, and I needed a waiver as well, a signed waiver. Now, to the races, you don't ever need the signed waiver because we just all use our phone and it, you know, it works as the waiver. You don't need to sign the paper waiver anymore, but it says you need a paper waiver. And I'm like, okay, no big deal. I'll go back and get a paper waiver when I get back to the race. So I'm like, I need to go. Now I'm in a town, obviously, I don't know at all.
Yep.
So I'm like, I go to a Walgreens. I'm like, I'm not in the right place to find a cinder block or 550 paracord, but I find an Ace Hardware. I walk into the Ace Hardware. I say, hey, I need some 550 paracord. They're like, our rope's down this way. So I go down there. There's no 550 paracord. They don't even know what 550 paracord is at this place. They're like, hey, we got some, you know, rappelling rope. We've got some twine. I'm like, yeah, I don't think that's what they sent me in here for. So I'm trying to get back on the internet, which is very slow in this town. I find 550 paracord at Walmart, of all places, Walmart. And I'm like, okay, where's this Walmart? Now, at this time, I'm also under a time crunch because it's probably about 2 o'clock, 2:30, and I need to be back at 4 o'clock. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to get back. I need to get back in time so that I have time to get everything put together and in my backpack. So I drive over to this Walmart. I'm walking around and I'm looking for a 550 paracord and I'm looking for a reflective vest and some duct tape. And he's like, okay, well, the 550 paracord's right here. Boom, I had that. Here's a reflective vest. The reflective vest that they give me was like the thin one though, not the regular running vest that you would normally get. And so I was like, man, I hope this works. because I didn't know, because it's the thin one. And I was like, well, they said vest, but this isn't a vest. This is kind of, I don't even know what they call those, but so I get that. I find some duct tape by somebody else. I grab that, and I'm like, I walk around all of the garden center, and I can't find any of these, any paver stones that I needed. I'm like, man, dang it. I'll have to go back to this Ace Hardware, and I'll just pick one up there. They had to have paver stones back there. So I go pay for this random stuff. So imagine I'm buying some 550 paracord, and I'm buying some duct tape. I'm completely muddy and dirty from the super, by the way. Right. And yeah. I'm getting this reflective vest, and I'm at Walmart, and I'm like, oh geez, what can these people possibly think? So I get back into my rental car. Seriously. Right. And, yeah. I'm we're out in the desert. So maybe they probably already knew what I was probably had intentions on doing, burying somebody.
Yeah.
So I get out to my, I get
You're
out to my rental car.
People at Walmart figures.
Right. I get all my stuff. I throw it in my car. I'm like, I got to hurry up. I've got about a half an hour to figure out where exactly I need to meet and get, and I need to get this waiver as well. So I throw everything in the rental vehicle, and I'm getting ready to pull out. I'm actually getting ready to leave. And what do I see stacked up outside of this Walmart? These 12 by 12 paver stones.
Yep.
I find a parking spot, grab one of the paver stones. Being the good citizen that I am, I run all the way back into the Walmart. I didn't steal it. I ran all the way back into there. I said, I put it on the counter, and I think I was like, man, I need to get some water because I was dehydrated at this point in time. And they're like, how many of these do you want? And I was like, oh, no, I just need this one paver stone. And they're like, you just want one of these stones. And I go, don't ask any questions. I just bought 550 paracord and duct tape, right?
Yeah.
And so I run out to the vehicle. I head back the 20-minute drive back to the race, and I'm like, okay, throw everything in my backpack. I've got to go get one of these waivers now because I couldn't figure out how I was going to print one out, and I was like, I'll just go back and get one. By this time, registration is now closed down. It's like the tent is actually down on the ground because it's so windy out there. They had dropped the tent, and there's no waivers there at all. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I'm thinking I'm going to have to run back to Walmart. I'm going to have to take the, like, print out a waiver online and then print it out at this Walmart or Walgreens that I had seen and then print it out there and then bring it back. But I'm thinking I've got about 30 minutes now, so I don't really have a whole lot of additional time. And the wind had blown, there's like a little cattle fence out there, had blown this piece of paper. I walk up to this piece of paper, and it is a blank waiver form.
There you go.
I grabbed that blank waiver form. I ran up to the merchandise that was still open. The merchandise booths were still open. I said, hey, can I borrow a pen real quick? And I'm thinking, hopefully I don't get penalized for asking this question, but they don't know anything. They're like, yeah, sure. So I fill out my waiver. I run back to my car, put everything in, and I made it just in time before, you know, nobody was waiting for me or anything like that. And that was kind of like the trauma. Like, I was sitting in my car at one point looking at the list of things that I needed to get before I headed into town and even started on this scavenger hunt. Was, man, maybe I should just go back to my hotel in Vegas an hour and a half and just go have fun with my friends and, you know, just come back tomorrow for the sprint. But, you know, I was just like, I got to do this. I got to at least try to get all this stuff put together and see if I can do it. And that, like, it felt like I had a race before, in the middle of my, before this hurricane heat and after my super, I had like my own little scavenger hunt race that I had to go do. Which made it a very unique experience for me. It was an awesome experience. I, you know, met some awesome cryptea, you know, obviously one of my favorite part of the entire thing was, Master Chaws. he had us take some duct tape and fold it over, and we had to carry those paver stones as a team, two by two. Each of us carried our, we had like six paver stones stacked on top of each other. The paver stones, you know, each of us carried a band of this duct tape that basically we created a strap, and we carried each other's straps to symbolize, you know, sometimes we don't know what's going on, the weight that somebody else is carrying. And so there was, you know, if anybody's ever done any events with him, you know, there's always just more than just a meaning of strength. You know, there's also this mental side of it and just really connecting with each other. And I mean, like, that kind of stuff just gets me kind of choked up. And that's the stuff that made me, it's one of the things that made me fall in love with endurance races. I was just like, this is more than just me physically getting out here. This is more than just mental. This is me really starting to understand that how, what teamwork really is about. Like, teamwork's really not just working as a team, but it's really understanding, you know, hey, what's your weakness? Hey, here's my weakness. Hey, let's, I've got some strengths. You've got some strengths. Let's find out how we can work together to make ourselves better, you know? And I think that's what community is about. And I think that's why Spartan is very unique.
Yeah, exactly. And it does, it's, it builds that whole community aspect. And I mean, that's, I've only done two Hurricane Heats. And the first one I did was in 2015 when in Seattle. And I can't remember why I did it, but I mean, it was like that, that first year of racing. And for whatever reason, I think I got a free one or something. I don't remember, but I remember someone talked me into it. And it was definitely an eye-opening experience, because luckily I knew some people and they warned me ahead of time. They're like, look for the emails. So I got the email. I knew what it was, but it was, I knew everything I was supposed to get, but it was like one of the random things was, it was, I think a 3-gallon bucket or something.
Yeah.
And it sounds weird, but it was some odd size that was like almost impossible to find. Like, all of us were like searching around for him. And when one person would find him, because I was already part of the beast, we were like sending messages going, hey, I found him over here. So
yeah,
I remember that, but it was also one of those things too. Like, all of us, like the, you know, you had to have the glow lights or the glow, you know, sticks and all that stuff. And most of us had, you know, we were supposed to bring two, and I think I had six and had some extra waivers. And it was like one of those things, like all those little things like that, I had extra.
Yep.
And I even had like an extra headlight.
That's how I am now. Yeah, I'm always like, man, I got to think about the people who aren't going or aren't going to be there, or they're going to show up late, or people forget things and stuff like that.
Because we had, there was one person who showed up basically late, and we had to, we all pieced together all of our stuff to say, okay, here, you've got everything you need now. But it was, So, but I do remember, like, someone showed up late and didn't have their waiver, and they made us start doing burpees, and we had to do burpees until that person had their waiver signed and ready to go and handed in.
Yeah.
So it was, and then I remember the other thing they did, it was Dingo, was the crypto, and he had us line up. And of course, what do you do when you get into a line? You line up with all your friends.
Yep.
So we had a line that was just beasts, and we're like, yeah, we're going to be all together. And he's like, okay, now turn to your left, and that's your line. And we're like, what?
Interesting.
So Yeah, so we were in it, like all of us were in lines, and then, yeah, he had us turn to our left. So all of a sudden, instead of being in that line, you were in the line facing the other way. So you ended up with a whole different group of people. So basically, he made sure that none of us were with our friends. I'm like, oh, that's, that was tricky. So I get the whole thing of, you always get that one person who, usually it's someone, you know, like you, where it's your first time doing it. You may not have like all friends and like be on the Facebook groups, so you don't know the little secrets. Like, don't ask questions. Rule number one, don't ask any questions. Rule number two, don't be late. You know, it's just kind of, you know, so So
yeah, no, I was a complete novice at it. And funny enough, in all of this, obviously it made me fall in love with it. I have to get duct tape to my partner, and we have to take this 12 by, we have to take each one of our 12 by 12 paver stones, and we have to climb up the really steep, that really steep hill Las Vegas course. But we have to, we can only use our paver stones to go up the hill. Well, my partner, who I didn't know at this time, again, being very green to all of this, this being basically, you know, very new into Spartan, this being my, that was going into my second season, Dingo actually was my partner, and I had no idea who he was.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I mean, it formed a friendship, like, from the get-go. And so, like, when I saw him, you know, this year, and he was going to be the Cryptea out there in Washougal, you know, I was just like, man, I was excited. I was like, I can't wait to see, you know, like, that. This is my old partner who, like, you know, kind of got me, like, to really enjoy this stuff, because there was definitely times where, like, I was just like, man, I don't know what to do here. And he was, you know, talking me through stuff. So it was cool.
Yeah. No, yeah. He's, I love Dingo. I did my first hurricane heat was with Dingo as a Cryptea. And then my second one, which was, I did Seattle in October and then Seattle again in April. And when I did that hurricane heat, it was the same thing. Dingo was my partner. So all of a sudden he went from being my Cryptea to my partner. And, you know, it was a cool experience, because all of a sudden it was like, I know you're a Cryptea, but you're my partner. So it,
right.
Yeah. And I don't know if you've heard, that's where the Pretty Mike came from. Because Dingo, the whole Mike,
okay,
kept calling me Pretty Mike. So, and then Ted, he kept calling Ted Freak Show, because it was like the three of us were like together the whole time. And he kept calling me Pretty Mike and Ted Freak Show. And both names just stuck.
Yeah, you know, like I said, Spartan is a unique experience. And, you know, Dingo's always so calm. And that's one of the things that when I went up to do the one up in Washougal is like, you know, I always want to, I don't feel like a overly vocal person, but I definitely want to make sure I'm leading by example, making sure that,
yeah,
you know, nobody who's on in my group or with me is going to give up. You know, I'm not going to let them give up mentally. I'm going to be there for them. I think Tom was one of the people who I had to drag over through the bike thing and scratched up his back, and I think ruined his shirt at the time. I told him, good news, we'll get a new shirt at the end of this, so you don't have to worry about it.
Yep.
But he had a pretty bad back at that point in time.
Yeah, it's a fun experience. Like you said, I mean, the great part is that, I mean, it really teaches you about community, and that's one thing, like the Spartan Endurance has such great Cryptea, great people that run it and are in it, that they'll push you to that point where you feel like you're gonna break, but it's almost like they know where that point is, so they'll push you to that point just a little bit past it, but they'll make sure you don't actually break.
And, yeah, I mean, it's an amazing experience. You see the people who, you know, like, you know, you see Tessa and stuff like that, and these other ones who are out there, you know, doing the ultras, and then they're doing the 12 hours, and they're doing the 24s, and, you know, I mean, I'm just like, they're inspiring to me. Like, I'm just like, dude, you can do it. Like, you just got to get out there, you know, and that's why now I'm just like, I just sign up and just sign up, show up, and then, you know, get prepared. You know, be prepared for the worst, and, you know, just and have fun. You know, that's the other thing I always think is like, you know what, this is going to end at some point, but just enjoy it.
Yeah.
I just try to be in the moment.
Yeah, and I agree. And that's just kind of it was, I remember, like I said, doing that first one, and it was tough, because it was the, we called it the bucket carry from hell, because the whole, we started with those 3-gallon buckets. And the first thing they had us do was go over to a pile of rocks that was right there at the venue up there in Snohomish and fill them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we carried those for probably, I'd say about 2.5 hours.
Right.
Those buckets were with us everywhere we went.
And
we carried them. And And yeah, then we went up that hill.
The HX3, they didn't have us bring any weight. And everybody's like, oh, man, we didn't have to bring any weight. And I was like, that's not good.
That scares me.
That just means they're going to provide the weight for us. And, of course, they did. It was, here's some empty sandbags. Now fill up these sandbags yourself, you know. And so you're filling up these, you know, 65-plus sandbags, and here's your 130, you know, pounds of sandbags. Now carry them, you know. And I'm like, man, oh, man, we're in for it.
That's it. Yeah, if they don't tell you to bring weight to a hurricane heat, you're in for it. And that was it. Yeah, they had us carry these buckets for 2.5 hours. And then all of a sudden there was – now, I don't know. I was trying to think. I think 2015 was the only year they tried to have it. But there was one hill in the Seattle race that ended up getting, like – they shut it down because people were falling off the hill, and actually, like, two people got sent to the hospital and someone got airlifted off the hill. It was so bad. We went up that hill with the buckets and did a like bucket brigade and dumped them all out on the hill.
So I think I remember that year was very similar to this last year. It was very, very wet. That mud just sucks your shoes right off as well. Yeah.
So we were trying to get rid of some of that with the rock. But yeah, we did a bucket brigade up that thing. There's a video somewhere. I think it's on the Spartan Endurance. I think it was, I can't remember. I think Tony, when he was still with Spartan, took the video of like all of us. And you can see me and Ted at the bottom grabbing everyone because they had us leave the buckets and then do like a chain all the way up the hill and then just start handing them up. So, and everyone's like, oh, so you didn't have to carry them. I'm like, yeah, but you would be surprised at how much it kills your arms to, there was a lot of us there. And a lot of buckets.
Yeah.
So every single one of those buckets you held on to. So, yeah, it was a fun time. It was a fun time. I'm not sure, yeah. And then the other one, like I said, with Dingo as a partner, that one was a lot different just because, I mean, Dingo was my partner. So it was like kind of, I had him there the whole time. And Dingo's very inspirational. He's one of those guys that will sit there and talk to you the whole time and, like, make you feel like, after he's talked to you for a bit, you feel like you could run up Mount Everest. Just the way he, like, if he's your partner and he just, you feel like he could talk you into that, you know, and you would be happy to do it.
Yep. Yeah, so. I mean, one of the things that I noticed about him is with him as a partner was I really stopped worrying about all the things that were going on around us. I was more really just focused on just the task at hand, and that's what I really started to really realizes, like, I don't need to worry about what's going to happen later in the event or what's happened so far. All I got to do is worry about is I need to, like, we had our legs taped together. We had our arms taped together. It was move as one together, move same movements. I couldn't, you know, I'm a little bit taller than him, but I can't reach further than he can reach because we got to reach together, you know? And so everything was just doing things together and just being in that moment. And like I said, I think there's a lot of things about the endurance races that are just more than just physical. You know, you start to realize the sense of community that you get. And I think that's where, you know, sometimes you get that out there in the races. I mean, it's just dependent upon, I guess, how competitive you are. You know, I've kind of decided on a lot of the races is that I really want to be out there and really I want people to know that I'm not just out there to just race for my own time, but I actually want to be out there to make sure to help somebody out. You know, if I know how to do an obstacle a little bit better, if I can give them like a cheat, that's a little like makes that obstacle easier, that, man, I wish I would have known that, you know, like the Hercoid.
Yeah.
I remember not even being able to lift the Hercoid. I got it up off the ground about eye level and I couldn't get it any further, you know? And I'm like, man, what is wrong with me? And then, you know, I started watching videos and I started teaching people when they would come to the Hercoid and I'd be doing the Hercoid and there's guys who are, you know, 200 plus pounds, but they can't get the Hercoid because they're just not using the right movement. I'm like, hey, try this, you know? And then once they try that, I'm like, boom, it's so much easier when you kind of learn techniques out there.
It is. And that's one of the things that's awesome, I mean, with Spartan. And I mean, you seem a lot like me where, I mean, one, I'm bigger, so I'm slower anyway, but I like to help people. I like to make sure, right. you know, that other people are getting through the race and doing it, you know, and that's, you know, that's why 2016, it took me 13 and a half hours to do the beast because we made sure everyone did it and everyone finished.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I get more reward out of knowing that I helped somebody else finish than just finishing the race myself. So,
right. No, I totally get that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, yeah. So you got a lot of endurance race coming up, which is good.
Yeah, I'm gonna do the two in Phoenix, and then I'm only doing the 12-hour in Vegas. I won't be able to be there for the Battle of the Sexes. I've promised the wife a trip to Zion while we're out there, so I'm gonna cut it a little short, and then I'm. You know, I've got some other events that I'm going to do in between there. And then the next major one for me is it looks like they moved Hawaii up into the middle of the month. So I've already signed up for the Ultra in Hawaii. So that's the one I'm planning on doing when I go to Hawaii this year. So barring any tropical storms that don't hit the island.
Yeah, no tropical, no. No hurricanes, none of that. I'm getting all three this year. This is my year.
Yeah, no fake hurricanes.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. The one thing I was going to say, like, when you were talking about the hurricane heat and all that stuff and the lessons, it's one thing that I've always felt is sometimes I feel like Spartan and the endurance races kind of teach you life lessons that you don't think about. Like, you were talking about, like,
Absolutely.
Focusing on the task at hand and I feel there's too many people that are so focused on what might happen later and what has already happened that they don't focus on what's right in front of them. And I think that's one of the things
right.
Spartan kind of makes you – it makes you focus on what's right there because you have to. And it kind of – you
yeah.
know, it's a great lesson of if you focus on what's right there in front of you, you're going to get past it, and then what's next doesn't matter yet. You'll be that
yep.
much more prepared for it. So,
well, and I
no.
think you said something, too, that kind of – makes sense too. It's like you never know if somebody was an athlete or they got injured.
Yep.
You know, we don't know what's going on in everybody's life. You know, even in this world of social media where things are posted, you don't see everything that's going on. You don't know what's going on with everybody in their personal life. And so
yeah.
we don't know what everybody's dealing with or what demons they're carrying. With them, you know, and I think that's why it is so rewarding to just be out there and just be helpful to people and just be a friend. And, you know, you never know who you're going to come in contact with. I mean, you just look at how many people we've all probably friendships we've all made all around the country, you know, and some of us all around the world,
yeah.
you know, just because of obstacle course racing. Let's just not even call it just Spartan. It's just obstacle course racing and overcoming obstacles and stuff like that we've developed some, you know, good long-term friendships. And everybody who I've met are really honest, decent people.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. No. Yeah. It's a great community. So, well, we're right at the hour mark pretty much. So is
okay.
there anything in closing that you want to say to the listeners? Anything that, you know, you want to, yeah.
Hey, just
like
go, you know, go out there and do it. You know, I mean, if anybody has any questions on endurance racing or anything like that, I know there's a lot of the beasts that are that do them. You know, I think we're all here to help out and make sure if you're new to this sport, I mean, those are the people who I want to help out. I want to help grow this
yeah.
into more than just a sport, but it is really a community and. One of the reasons why I love the Sunday workouts with the beasts and stuff like that, you know, just small workouts, people who are like-minded, you know, a lot of us are all working, you know, 40 plus hours a week and, you know, we just find a couple hours to just go work out together. And so it's an awesome community. I've been happy to be part of, be just, you know, just a small part of it. So
that's awesome. No, I agree. I mean, it's a great community. And I mean, if anyone listens to this, if you can get out to one of the workouts of the day, I mean, there's the Portland, Salem, we got them up in the South Sound, which is my house actually in Puyallup. And then they do them up north in the Everett area. I think there's one in Kent sometimes. So, I mean, yeah, definitely. If you can get out to one of them, get out to them and meet some of the beasts that you may not know. And, like, at the next race, you know, reach out and meet someone new. And that's one of the great things about this group.
You're right. We all become family, so.
Yep, definitely. All right. Well, thank you for
I appreciate you having
for talking with me, Corey. Oh, yeah, this was a blast. I would definitely love to have you again. And hopefully I'll run into you at one of these races. It will both be at Vegas, but I think I'll be probably starting a race as soon as you're finishing your 12-hour. So.
Yeah, well, if I see you, I'll say hi to you.
All right. Perfect. Thank you, Corey.
Absolutely. Have a good one. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast, brought to you by Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you'd like to hear. You can find us on Facebook or at beastocr.com.